Amen. Amen. Thank you, Miss Brenda, for sharing with us, and just grateful to the Lord for your gift. And if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we will begin in verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, and beginning in verse 9. And I've shared with you that we are, in my opinion, in a special few weeks as we walk together through the first part of chapter 6 here, and we're talking about faith's fingerprints, and we've already spent some time talking about giving and helping others, and we're spending the next few weeks together talking about prayer, and then we will have a time where we look into the Word about fasting. And so this morning we are continuing our time on prayer. And last week I talked to you about smudged praying, the praying that God doesn't hear. And those two things were prideful praying and aimless praying. Sometimes we just say, God be with so-and-so, or God bless, and so on. So we talked about when we pray, we come together and we pray, and all our prayers public, and we're just prideful, and we just, man, we want everybody to know how much of a prayer warrior we are, and so on and so forth, and God's not within 100 miles of that kind of praying. And then we have aimless praying, where we just throw out these general, vain, repetitious things. And Jesus even said, sometimes you pray like the heathens do. And one of the statements I made to you is that our praying doesn't sound much different than lost people praying. Man, we need to get real specific. Humble, seeking the Lord. And so the next couple weeks, we're going to walk through. You've heard it referred to in all sorts of ways. The Lord's Prayer is one of the most common, and I think that's an inaccurate title. I think it limits it and restricts it. John 17 is more appropriate, the Lord's Prayer. We see Him pray, and then we get some real specifics about what Jesus is praying. Rather, I think this could be titled more the model prayer, the pattern for prayer. And I think what Jesus is giving us is not some template that after a football game on Friday night, we gather around and we say it absolutely as fast as we humanly possibly can, just to say we pray together. And I realize I'm not against that. I'm just saying I think we've relegated it to that. And it's just not some words we need to regurgitate. Rather, I think it's a template for us. It's something we need to look at. We need to pull some parts from it and understand what Jesus is teaching us here. And then we need to take that template and apply it to our life and help us fit our context. Okay? And so Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. If you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. And I pray you right now, I pray and ask you, God, right now, would you fill me with your spirit? Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. I pray you bind away the evil one from this place, that you'd have perfect liberty to speak to our heart this morning. God, teach us to pray. I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. And so this morning I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, His Fingerprints on Strategic Praying. His fingerprints on strategic praying. So Jesus here is teaching us how to pray. And the main idea of the text this morning is this, is that God hears and answers humble, effective praying. Last week I told you God doesn't hear and answer all prayer. We've already talked about that. So the question of the text this morning is, how strategic is your praying? How specific? How big are you asking God? I don't know if you realize this, but we serve a pretty big God. He is mighty. He is powerful. The scripture says this, He's able to do abundantly all that we imagine, hope for, or ask. I think one of the problems we don't see God work the way we want to is we don't ask God big enough. And we don't ask God specific enough. And so as we walk through the next few weeks, so the disciples came to Jesus at one point and they said this, Lord, teach us to pray. And I just wonder if you would jot down on your notes, would you begin to pray that over the next few weeks? Lord, teach me to pray. And I realize that some of us have been Baptists for decades. And man, we've been faithful year after year and as Sunday school class, and we've taught and all these, man, we've been through VBS. But I really am convinced that somewhere along the way, we just haven't learned how to pray and really seek the Lord, really grab a hold of the altars of the throne room of God and man, just see God do great things. And so that's why I'm excited about this time as we look together into the Scripture and we take some notes from Jesus' teaching and say, God, teach us to pray. I don't know about you, but I've got an excitement about what that may mean for your life, for your family life, and quite frankly, for the life of our church. And so we're going to look at these four main truths and we're going to divide this into two. And so we're going to spend a couple weeks in this model prayer. We're going to deal with half of it this week and then half of it next week. And so we're going to begin we're going to spend time in verse 9 and verse 10. And so number one, strategic praying means, hold on to your seat here, actually praying. It means we got to actually pray. Notice the scripture. In this manner, therefore, what does it say, church? Pray. So here's Jesus, he's teaching, and he's getting ready to give this template for them. I mean, he's got the Word document template downloaded, ready to present to them. And he says, before we get there, pray. It's a command. I think one of our struggles and one of the things that we've fallen into the trap of that we're really, really good at giving prayer requests and we're really good at receiving prayer requests, but I think we're really terrible of actually praying. See, praying is not simply saying, hey, pray for so-and-so. They've had surgery this week and this has gone on. Or pray for so-and-so. They've lost their job. That's not praying. That's giving a prayer request. Man, sometimes a prayer meeting can turn into everything other than praying. Sometimes in our Sunday school class, man, we spend more time talking about what the prayer requests are than we do actually praying, folks. And my challenge to you is this, as we think about this and we look at this, and sometimes we just got to get over saying, man, am I going to get it wrong? Am I going to pray the wrong way? I don't know how to do this. Listen, the reality is sometimes we just need to jump in with both feet and just spend time in prayer. The master will teach you to pray when you're actually in the prayer closet. That's where you're going to learn. You're not going to learn necessarily in some classroom, although we can learn some things this morning that'll help us in being effective to pray. But at the end of the day, what we need, church, this morning is folks to actually get down and pray. John 16:24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. James tells us you have not because you ask not. I wonder, church family, as we look around this morning, go, oh, I wonder, I wish so-and-so, I was really hoping so-and-so was going to be here. We hadn't seen so-and-so, or sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, we hadn't seen them in a long time. I wonder, when's the last time you asked God to touch their heart, that they may come? Boy, sister so-and-so, she's really not getting any better. When's the last time you prayed that the great physician would touch your body? I find it fitting that on Mama's Day, we're talking about praying. Because there's several of you mamas that could teach us to pray. Because you spend a lot of time praying for your kids, your grandkids. Some of you, man, you've got a quiver full of faithful followers of Jesus. Not because you had some magic formula, but because you were simply faithful to pray. And to that I want to say thank you. There's some prayer warriors, some prayer heroes in this room. I know you've been faithful to pray. And let me just say, church, we need to learn this morning. Sometimes we just need to pray. Stop worrying about, am I going to get all the words right? Stop worrying about if I can get the these and the thous in the right place. Stop worrying about, well, I don't pray as eloquent as so-and-so. Boy, when they pray, it sounds so great. Get over all that. Just find some time in your daily life where you get quiet and you get still before the Lord and you pray, and then make every effort as you can throughout the day to be mindful of taking not, yes, keep hearing those prayer requests, keep giving those prayer requests, but when you hear them, man, breathe those before the Lord, present them to Jesus. Somebody at work comes up to you, man, pray for so-and-so. They just lost their job. And take just a moment. You don't have to gather around, call everybody's attention together, and make sure you hold hands because that's the holy circle. Just quietly, even in your own mind, your own conscience, pray before the Lord. Man, sometime when you're driving to work, turn the radio off and pray as you're going down the road. Don't close your eyes. At least if you do, call me before you pray, and I'm going to stay here and pray. Just kidding. Take every moment, every opportunity, and man, could you imagine what life might be like if you walk through the day and using opportunities as you go through a drive-thru, as you sit down at a restaurant, as you go through the bank, and just pray for those individuals, pray for what's going on, and actually pray. He said, in this manner, here's the pattern, therefore pray. He gives the imperative. It's a command. Christian people ought to pray. Number two, strategic praying is based on your relationship. It's based on your relationship. Notice verse 9 again. In this manner, therefore, pray. There's the command. And if you mark or underline your Bible, notice this. Our Father. Mark or underline that. Our Father. Boy, it's about relationship. Let me give you one other. The prayer that God doesn't hear is the prayer of somebody that doesn't know Jesus. Of a lost man or a lost woman. Somebody who has not repented of their sins and placed their faith and trust in Christ. It's been said the only prayer that God hears of a lost man or a lost woman is the prayer of repentance and faith when they turn to Him. This is where we got to start, folks. It doesn't matter how eloquent you are at praying. It doesn't matter how much time you spend on your knees. If you have not come to the place where you have repented of your sins and placed your faith and trust in Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Jesus says, pray like this, begin with our Father. See, I wonder, can you call God your Father this morning? See, for every one of us, we all have sin. And we've all come short of the glory of God. There's not a person in here that's not because of, once they understand the difference between right and wrong, we enter into a state of conscience where we sin against God. And in that moment, we're forever separated from a holy God, except through the blood of Jesus. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came and lived a sinless, perfect life and died on the cross for me and for you to offer up salvation. And when you and I accept that gift, we turn from our sin, we repent and turn to God, we place our faith and trust in Him. At that moment, the Scripture says, we become adopted. We become a part of the family of God. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received, look, the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, that is, by whom we pray, Abba, Father. Well, you know what the translation is? Daddy God. Well, there's intimacy with that. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, crying out, Daddy God. Well, listen, if you're going to get strong, if you're going to be intimate and you're praying, man, you got to actually pray, but it's based on that relationship with Jesus. And when Jesus has saved your soul, you have entered into a relationship, and the key to any good relationship is communication. And the Bible is the way God communicates to us, and then through prayer, we communicate back to God. And listen, hopefully for you mamas, if your kids want to survive today, they're not going to call you by your first name. Right? Walk into the room and, hey Linda, that ain't going to happen. Not in my house. Mom, mama, mommy. Why? Because there's an intimacy there. There's a relationship there. And my plea, my begging of you this morning, is you got to start with that relationship. If you don't know Jesus, trust Him today. At the end of our time, I'm going to give an invitation, and there'll be an opportunity for you to pray. The first prayer that God ever hears from you is praying, God, forgive me of my sins. Be the boss and master of my life. It's a prayer of repentance and faith. Some of you've got to begin with that prayer and enter into that relationship, and then God can teach you to pray. And at the end of our time together, we're going to have a time of invitation where you pray and you ask Jesus to save you, be the boss, master of your life, and you give everything to Him. And the Bible says God hears that prayer and He answers that prayer and He saves us. And then we have that relationship. And so, strategic praying is actually praying. Strategic praying is based on your relationship. And then number three, strategic praying begins with worship. Begins with worship. Notice this, in this manner, verse 9, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, look, hallowed be your name. Boy, here Jesus is setting up this pattern for prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And He is entering in, He is beginning His prayer time in worship, acknowledging the holiness, the majesty. He is being in awe of God the Father. And let me just say, the name in which you come, it sets the tone of the relationship. You meet somebody early on, unless they're really awkward, they're not going to call you mom or dad. Some of you got nicknames. They're going to call you by your nickname. May call you by your first name, or if you're in a professional setting, it could be Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. And depending on how people address you, often sets the tone for the conversation. I know none of this has ever happened with any of you, but that phone call comes and you look at the number and it's the school. Hello? Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. Thinking, oh, this isn't good. The name in which they use typically sets the tone in what's about to take place. And then they either quickly get to it or they begin to praise your son or daughter. And if it's the phone from the school, it probably is, come see me. But the name and the attitude in which it sets the tone. And so he is starting out with our Father. And the scripture says we come and Abba Father, Daddy God. And man, there's an intimacy that is there. And then he enters into worship. Hallowed be your name. What is this about? This is about getting my heart ready. And so Psalm 111 verse 9, he talks about the name. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Psalm 113, 2 and 3, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. Isaiah 6:3, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. We've got to realize as we learn to pray, strategic praying, we actually pray, we have this relationship with God, and we need to start our praying with the one who matters the most, and that is God Himself. What we're guilty of is we have our laundry list, we have our shopping list, we have our go-get-it list, and we want to rush into the presence of God, slap our list down and say, go to work, God. And my challenge to you is that we need to be reprogrammed and we need to be recalibrated. You want to see God work in your prayer life in a way that you never imagined. Hold off on the grocery list. Hold off on the to-do list that you have for God. Hit pause. You're going to get to some of those things, but begin your prayer time with worship. And focus on worshiping God. Now, some of you say, preacher, but I don't sing good. Well, I'm so grateful that worship is not limited to music. Worship is not limited to music. The whole service, our heart and prayer as you come in this morning, is a service. It's a worship service. Yes, we sing, and I'm so grateful to God for music and music that leads us to the throne. And we sing and we worship God, but that's not it. Man, the scripture ought to lead us to worship. Our prayer time ought to lead us to worship the Lord Jesus. And so how do we do this? There's a couple of things that you can do. I've been through seasons where I take a hymnal or a songbook of some sort. Man, as I read through the Bible and thank God for the Scripture and spend time in the Word, and there may be times that I want to worship God and I may flip open to a hymn. And listen, I know it's painful. That's why I do it in my prayer closet. I may sing to the Lord. And boy, you think that's tough. But But there's times where I find scripture that, man, that worship, Isaiah 6:3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I don't sing well, but I'm convinced God likes it when I join in with the angels. And man, I think about what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. Or Acts, that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess, those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, that He is Lord. Man, listen. You want to see your prayer time change? You search the Scriptures. You find verses that talk about how great, how grand, how awesome Jesus is. You look at how awesome God is, that He is gracious and merciful and kind, extending mercy to thousands upon thousands. Man, you spend your time starting with just how great God is. And God will change your prayer life. Because see, folks, praying is more about our heart getting in tune with God than trying to twist God's arm to get Him to do what we want Him to do. And when you begin your prayer time worshiping God in awe of who God is and just magnifying His name, man, things begin to happen in your life and in your relationship with Him and your affection for Him. And so strategic praying begins with worship. Now be careful. I enjoy music. But music is not on par with the Scripture. Okay? Whether it be in a hymn book, whether it be on K-Love, I enjoy the worship music. But the words that they write are not infallible. They are not inspired the way that the Scripture is. So I think there's something more powerful when we use verses like Isaiah 6:3 and Acts 4:12 and we use the Scripture, allow it to praise and worship God. There's authority, there's power that's there. When we use the Word of God to worship God, it is powerful. And this is all about getting my heart ready to really pray, to spend time before the Lord. Number four, strategic praying submits to God's will. Strategic praying submits to God's will. Notice what he does here in verse 10. Verse 9, in this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Awesome, holy is your name. And in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know what Jesus is teaching here? He is simply teaching submission. Jesus saying, look, you got to actually pray. You need to know Christ before you can really pray. You need to worship God, and then you need to submit to the will of God. Before I get to my laundry list, as I worship God, you know what happened? God inhabits the praises of His people. And when you begin with worship and you begin with God, let me tell you what happens. God goes, I like that. The fragrance of that worship rises to the throne room of heaven, and God goes, I like that. And boy, He comes, and He inhabits those praises. And when you get in the presence of God, you realize, I'm quite insignificant. And I really don't know what's best. And my life really is but a vapor. And so God, as I worship You, before I bring these things, before I ask of anything, ultimately, God, what I'm asking is Your will be done. What is it that you're praying for right now? achievement of, well, we just finished graduation season, so most everybody who's going to get their degree right now has probably got it, but maybe in December or next May. Maybe it's a job, relocation. Some of you young folks may be praying for a significant other. Whatever it is you're praying for, what tends to happen, we have our set of criteria that we're bringing to God. God, okay, we want your blessing, but we want your blessing to fit this criteria. Here's the mold, God. Now you make your blessing fit in the mold. And what Jesus is teaching us here, he's saying, get rid of the mold and say, God, your will be done. Allow God's mold to shape your heart. Remember, God is able to do abundantly above all that we ask, imagine, or hope for. And folks, if we'll get real honest before God and we'll worship God and we'll submit to His will, oftentimes God will give us things that we never dreamed of even asking for because He loves you much more than you could ever imagine. And so as you worship God, you realize how big God is, how insignificant I am. And God, before I bring my grocery list to you, God, I'm just going to submit to your will. Ultimately, God, above and before all else, your will be done. Is this not exactly what we've seen Jesus do? Jesus is living his life. He is serving. He knows what reason he is here. He knows the cross is coming. And he brings the disciples along to pray. He positions them. And he goes on a little further. And in Luke, do you remember what he prays in Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if it is your will, make this cup pass from me. Look, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So Jesus not only said this is the pattern for praying, Jesus modeled it in front of his disciples. Said, God, your will be done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Why did I put that in there? Because I want you to see there's some things in Scripture that we can pray for that we know are the will of God. God desires for us to be sexually pure. God desires for us to live a life of righteousness, a life without covetousness. There's some things that we know absolutely line up with the will of God. So when I pray and ask God for those things, I know I'm praying for the will of God. Does that make sense? But then we see Paul demonstrate this, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. We don't know what this thorn was. It was something that really bothered Paul. Lest I be exalted above measure, it said it was to keep him humbled. Concerning this thing, look, I pleaded, that is, I prayed with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And notice what God says. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Paul knew something of the power of God that many others did not because he was willing to submit to the will of God. I wonder if you and I are missing the power of God on our lives because we're not willing to submit to the will of God. And so, Jesus begins this template of praying. And so let me just pause for just a moment before we get ready to close. How does this impact my prayer life? Just about every day, I have this template before me. And I go before the Lord. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I hit pause and I go find a hymn, or I find verses of scripture. I find the word of God that's rich and full of praise to God. And I just begin praying and reading that those verses out loud to God and just worshiping God. God, that you tread the high places on the earth. You declare to man what his thought is. You placed Orion and Pleiades into the galaxies. And man, just take the scripture and you pray it and you worship God. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here I am again today, God, as you are awesome and you're holy. You're great and I'm not. I submit anew and afresh today to your will and your plan. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of service, that you may prove what is that perfect and acceptable, perfect will of God. And so I just spend time saying, God, your will be done. And then next week, we're going to see as the next components come in and how we take the Word of God and we pray the Word of God and we use the Word of God as a template. And I'm telling you, folks, I started this about a year ago. I heard Steve Gaines preach something quite similar. See, walk through some of this. One Sunday morning, when we less than a year ago, when we took a break from stepping away from Victory Baptist, before we came to Second Baptist, we got away on a retreat in Tennessee, and on the way back through, we stopped in Memphis and went to Bellevue Baptist Church and Pastor Steve Gaines. And that one Sunday, he preached something very similar to this, and it changed my prayer life forever. I don't tell you that to impress you. I don't tell you that so you can tweet about it and talk about it. I'm just telling you, folks. When you use the Word of God as the template for praying and you pray the Word of God, man, it will change your life. It will change your family's life. It'll change the life of our church. And so, my challenge to you is, take some of this, put it into practice. One of the things we're going to present to you is I'm putting together a prayer guide. Most of it comes from my personal time as I've grown in this and walked in this. A simple prayer guide of how this happens in my life, and if you choose to use it or make it your own, that's the best. And just have that out and available for you. But use this morning's notes as a simple guide for you. Begin this week with worship. Take some of those verses. Go find some of your own. Man, listen, Google verses of worship to God. You'll come up with 30 or 40 or 70. There's lists out there. Take some of those. And man, keep it fresh and use those and pray those back to God. Submit to God's will. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. And God, I pray that in these next few moments you be glorified. Your will be done. And if you're here this morning and you haven't trusted Christ, and you just need to pray, you need to ask God to save you and forgive you of your sins. Some of you feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling because they are, because you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You may feel like God's not within 100 miles when you pray, because He's not, because you have not yet confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. Right now, right where you're at, ask Him to save you, forgive you of your sins, and be the boss of your life. Give everything to Him. Pray something like this: Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart, wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. With head bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around, If you'd say, Brother Chris, I prayed that this morning. I